Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I start giving on that level so that God would owe me.
Whatever you do right now, don't you stop tithing.
Harvest responds only to seed, not to prayer.
This is not about material wealth. This is about God in His providence orchestrating all of history in order to bring about that which we need more than anything else, and that is to be rescued from God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I'm living in a hostile work environment. This is Wretched Radio. All caps. I'm looking at the computer. This is toxic, I think. I think that's the right word for it. It's sexist, maybe. Whatever it is, it's very, very aggressive. I'm looking at my computer screen. It says all caps, year and match. Mention it, ellipsis, or else. That's threatening language. Now, the only question that remains unanswered is, was that written by Jimmy Hicks or the very aggressive and angry Kamala Harris? What is she so mad about? Yikes.
And when we all sing happy tunes and sing Merry Christmas and wish each other Merry Christmas, these children are not going to have a Merry Christmas. How dare we speak Merry Christmas?
Yeah.
How dare we?
Yeah.
And when we all sing happy tunes and sing Merry Christmas and wish each other Merry Christmas, these children are not going to have a Merry Christmas.
Yikes. Why is she so upset? Did she send this message or did it come from you, Jimmy?
It came from me.
HR! I've got a complaint. I'll need some time and I'm going to need some therapy. Year-end match, mention it or else, fine, I'll be obedient. That's right, we've got a year-end match campaign going on. Super crucial time of the year for ministry support, us and, well, everybody else. So if you haven't spent all your money on video games, because that's the number one bestseller, I think it was $7 or $8 billion I saw going for the Black Friday sales stuff. It's record-setting levels. Most of the money, though, was spent on basically games. Boys who look like adults should maybe be spending their money in other ways. We need more productivity, not more couch time with a joystick. They spent $8 billion on Black Friday. It is a very important time of the year if you have discretionary funds and if you are already supporting your local church, that's priority number one. Please consider supporting us. We have a year-end match campaign. It's our big one and it's super crucial. We're so pumped for next year. God was very kind in 2025. So thank you, Gospel Partners, for supporting us. We opened up the store, made everything free. We went to 4 campuses. Next year, we want to go to 12. This year, we published Greg Gifford's book. Next year, it'll be my book with HarperCollins. Super excited about the upcoming year. If you would like to join us on our quest to proclaim great news, would you please consider supporting us financially at FortisInstitute.org. I don't know why I whispered. The spirit of Joe Biden got into me. FortisInstitute.org/donate. He's kind of angry, too. The two of them were peas in a pod, weren't they? FortisInstitute.org/donate. We would love it if you would support us. And then Jimmy can stop yelling at me and hopefully come look to you. So I'm thinking about the Thanksgiving thing. Jimmy, I hope you are you tryptophaning still?
Nope. No turkey for me.
Are you a communist?
I boycotted turkey this year.
You're not... Did the turkey not say Merry Christmas to you?
It did not.
Then you should boycott it because that's what we do as Christians. Okay, so you didn't eat the turkey. What in the world did you eat on Thanksgiving? Don't you understand the pilgrim story?
I do understand it, but I get so tired. I didn't cook turkey at my home, but the other places I visited, I get so tired of it.
Once a year. It's so hard.
It is.
But nobody makes a turkey dinner in May. It's once a year.
I get it.
You can't be an American for one day out of the year. What did y'all eat?
Prime rib.
Oh, that's what exactly. But you know what? I have to confess, the pilgrims, they ate prime. No, actually, I don't think that they did. I was thinking about the Thanksgiving. We did the bird. It was a big one. We got a Costco bird, which means it was like 800 pounds because we needed a dolly to get the thing out of the building. It was the biggest bird. And once again, this probably isn't the, it's definitely not the appropriate place to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway because I'm deep into character. My wife lied at Thanksgiving. That's right. I just said it. She lied. She said, I'm not going to do much this year. Yeah, well, that didn't exact. We had all kinds of fixins that went with, I mean, everything. And then the kids came over and they brought more stuff. And we basically, Henry VIII would have looked at us and said, I think you guys need to slow your roll. You're just being a little piggy here. Very thankful for the last year. Very thankful for the people who support us and allow us to do what we do. But I was able to give thanks on Thanksgiving because I have an object of gratitude. Why does the world celebrate Thanksgiving? Okay, America. Why does America, which, well, let's be honest, we are the world. Why does America celebrate Thanksgiving? To whom are we giving thanks if you do not believe in a deity? You, that's a question. In fact, I want to, you know what? I think that's a good campus question. Hey, did you celebrate Thanksgiving? Mm-hmm. Are you a Christian? No. So who are you thanking? And force people to come. Look, if you can't give thanks to God, you really shouldn't be celebrating the holiday. Appreciate the big bucks that you spend on Black Friday and you make the markets go from red to black. Is that offensive? Did Whoopi ever get that? No, it was Joy Behar. Do you get offended that it's called Black Friday? It's an accounting term, Joy. It means that businesses go from losing money to actually making money at the end of the year. Nevertheless, to whom does Joy Behar give thanks? And I just wonder if at what point America, as we become increasingly post-Christian, they're going to say that's inappropriate. Just like they're already doing with Christmas. There's a lot of belly aching. Kamala Harris, not the least of which, about Christmas and having it being a federal holiday. And at some point, if it's not about Christ, what are you doing? Then call it, whatever it is that you're doing, call it something else. Call it, we want more than the name reclaimed. We want more than people being free to say Merry Christmas. We want people to celebrate the Christ of Christmas. So to all the people who aren't, go make up your own thing. Do your little winter solstice festival. Bring in some pagan deity if you like. But don't call it Christmas unless you celebrate Christ. After all, it's kind of baked into the name, don't you know? Guess what Americans were consuming for Thanksgiving besides prime rib? I mean, turkey. Prime rib?
Yeah.
How much per pound for the prime rib?
Oh, man, I don't know.
The turkey was like $1.89 a pound.
Prime rib was more than that.
Okay, I think that's what it was. I could be mistaken because I keep thinking in my mind, turkey should be 89 cents a pound. That you get frozen in a different decade. And it's like, how much? Turkey? What is it? Like gasoline or something that we're paying so much per pound for that thing? The prime rib had to cost you, unless you got it at Costco, of course. But then you don't have a pot big enough for a prime rib if you get it from Costco.
That's true.
That bird almost didn't get stuffed into that bag. I'm telling you, pot. Pot is what people are consuming for Thanksgiving. That's right. It's becoming more of a thing. And the reason is oh so telling. This is from MSN. Did they change their name? I think they changed their slogan. Same old socialism, just newly packaged. They're selling record rates, by the way. I don't know if you realize how big the pot industry is. Cannabis is a $34 billion industry. THC-infused beverages, places, what liquor stores sell them, $28 billion. So we're not drinking alcohol. We're drinking pot. basically, is what we're doing. And the reason that it's so popular at Thanksgiving time, they see a huge spike. They see it 420, the day America celebrates marijuana. Here's a question for the potheads. Can I celebrate 420 if I don't believe in pot? Can I? Does that bother you at all? Because that's how we feel at Thanksgiving. And the reason that sales spike at Thanksgiving, here's from the article. People getting stocked up for Thanksgiving, huh? Asked one customer as he stood in line at the checkout station at the cannabis store. The individual who works the desk, a fellow named E, that's E as in E, period, Friday, E Friday, a personal care specialist who goes by their first initial and uses the pronouns they and them, said, yeah, you know, cousins coming into town, family getting together, people needing to relax a little. Oh, is that what Thanksgiving is about? Having to endure people that you're actually related to. People need the marijuana to get through the day. That is beyond tragic to me on so many levels. But let's forget for a moment, because that's what people who smoke pot do. Let's just forget for a moment the people who smoke pot to get through the holidays. How's about you? How'd you do? Were you able to get along? Were you able to evangelize your family? Or were you kind of stressed out? What might we do about that before next Thanksgiving? Next on Wretched Radio.
You know that moment at 3 a.m. when you can't sleep, everything is quiet, and you're alone with the truth about who you really are versus who everyone thinks you are? Your wife trusts you, your kids look up to you, the guys at church think you've got it all together, but you know better. You know the secret battles, the deleted history, the promises you keep breaking to yourself and to God. Here's what took me way too long to figure out. You can't fix a spiritual problem with human solutions. Accountability software won't change your heart. White-knuckling it through another week won't either. And Todd Friel is getting to the heart of this issue with his resource, Play the Man. It doesn't give you another list of rules. It shows you how Christ actually changes men from the inside out. How he replaces the wanting, not just the doing. The man your family deserves, that guy is possible, but not through your own strength. It's going to be through the strength of Christ working through you. Play the Man. It's available now as an ebook, an audiobook, and a video series only at fortisplus.org, because real men know when they need real help.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know what momentum feels like? When the work you've been doing for years, it starts to reach people you never dreamed you'd reach. That's what 2025 has been for Fortis Institute. We're on over 600 radio stations now, over 120 TV networks. Our Fortis Plus app is streaming on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, everywhere people are watching. And something we never thought we'd do, we closed the warehouse. Every single resource we have is now completely free. 300,000 Play the Man booklets made it into the hands of students this year. We had 3 campus events attended by students who are hungry for truth. Our Fellows podcasts are all ranking in the top 5% worldwide. Dr. Greg Gifford released his new book, and millions, literally millions, are watching on YouTube. But here's the thing about momentum. You can't coast. You have to keep pushing, and that's why December matters so much. Every gift you give this month is matched dollar for dollar up to $500,000. Go to fortisinstitute.org right now. Give today and double your impact. Let's keep the momentum going.
Important dates in Christian history. 1620, Pilgrims coming to America sign the Mayflower Compact and commit themselves to seek the public good, uphold group solidarity, and forsake self-seeking. The Pilgrims' influence helped to create the religious freedoms enjoyed today in the United States. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Do I smell the devil's lettuce, or is that just irony? This is Wretched Radio. To each their own. If you would like to create a list like this, you have every liberty to do so. I don't think you're sinning. I'm just NAF. I am not a fan of the naughty list. Are you familiar with this? It's a big organization. Every year, they determine which stores are naughty and which stores are nice. You say, what makes the distinction between the two categories? And the answer is Christmas. Whether or not they're willing to use the word Christmas, whether they mean it or not, irrelevant. You get slapped on the naughty list if you won't. It is a campaign designed to educate and, when necessary, litigate to ensure religious viewpoints are not censored from Christmas and holiday themes. Now, there's a little bit of a debate going on here as to whether or not an employee has religious liberty to say Merry Christmas to somebody in the checkout line because they're on the employer's dime. So I can understand that sort of litigation. But if we're suing organizations simply because they won't acknowledge a Christian holiday, it's not a federal holiday. I don't care what the government has to say about Christmas. It is a Christian celebration. I know it's probably not even the right date. That is to miss the point. It's called Christmas, you know, like as in Mashiach, as in anointed one. Let's start calling it that. The anointed one celebration. That might put a few people off, but that's what it is. It's a Christian celebration. And there's a number of people who would litigate and say, no, a company has to say Christmas because it's a federal holiday. It's a campaign in order to make sure that Christmas continues to be in the consciousness of America. Would you like to know who's on the nice list? Okay, Jimmy, get your pen ready.
Okay.
Because this is not easy to keep up with this, where you can shop and where you can't.
Okay.
Bath and Body Works, you know, you shouldn't be shopping there anyway. Just as a rule, men shouldn't be allowed into this store.
What if I got to get something for my wife?
A number of years ago, is the Onion still in business or has Babylon Bee just taken over in the satire department? The Onion wrote an article about something candle. What's the can? You love the scented candles, Jimmy. Your office smells lovely. It's not Bed Bath and Beyond. What's it called?
You just
something Yankee Candle.
Oh, Yankee Candle.
It's a story of a shooting at a mall at a Yankee Candle, and it focused on a guy who got shot in the process, but dragged himself out to get to an electronics store, leaving a trail of blood because he didn't want to be found dead in a Yankee Candle. I'm sorry. That was funny. So Bed Bath & Beyond, no Yankee. I don't even know that Yankee Candle is around. That's how old that article was. Bed Bath & Beyond, Best Buy. Oh, no. Costco. Costco's on the naughty list. They're more woke than you think. They know how to market and sell stuff. Lots of big stuff. But they're more woke than you think. Hallmark, Hobby. Wait a second. Oh, this is the nice list. See, that's what makes this so difficult. You're just going to be driving around town going, was this the nice or was that the naughty? I can't keep. Okay, so Costco is nice. Bed Bath & Body Works, Bed Bath & Beyond, Best Buy, Hallmark, Hobby Lobby. Well, of course, Hobby Lobby. The Home Depot. JCPenney is still in business.
That surprises me.
Kirkland's, Kohl's, Lowe's, Macy's, Sam's Club, Sears, Staples, Target. Target is on the nice list. Wow. That's right. It explains. Best Buy, Target, and Walmart are examples of companies that had earned spots on the naughty list, but now they're on the nice list. In the case of Target, it's because they actually put the word Christmas on their website in the Everything Christmas Market. There you go. Now you're nice. Now we can spend our money. Forget all the money you give to other nefarious organizations. But as long as you say Christmas somewhere on your website, thumbs up from us. I'm sorry. Am I tipping my hand about my sentiment toward this? When we say Merry Christmas, what are we saying? In essence, this will be like a message paraphrase. We're basically saying, may you have a joyful celebration of the birth of the Savior of the world. That's what we're saying. Why would we want to force an organization that does not adhere to that belief to say it too? I don't know. On the naughty list, just in case, got your pen sharpened or pencil, I guess. I don't know that you can sharpen it. You can probably sharpen a pen these days with AI. Academy Sports, American Eagle, Barnes & Noble, Big Lots, Burlington Coat Factory, CVS, Dick's Sporting Goods, Eddie Bauer, Gap, Kmart, Lord & Taylor, Nordstrom, TJ Maxx, and Walgreens. You got that straight, Jimmy?
Yes.
All right. Happy shopping to you. Here's a question. Why aren't pot dispensaries on here? Why aren't all of these stores that are proliferating everywhere appearing on a naughty list because they sell things that so damage people? I know it's different and I get it, but I guess I'm trying to make a point. Liquor stores. How many people abuse what is a Christian liberty, but we don't really seem to have much of an issue with a pot dispensary or liquor stores? Well, what about any other nefarious business? Why don't they land on a naughty list? Seems to me that what they're producing is more important than what they let their clerks say or not say, or what they put in their store windows. That's just me. The pot dispensaries, booming business. And according to one article that I read at MSN, one of the reasons Thanksgiving is such a booming time of business for the pot industry is because people need it to cope. We shouldn't need it to cope. There is something about Thanksgiving and Christmas. I get it. The family comes together. There's all kinds of dynamics at kind of moving around like chess pieces on a table. And most of the time, we play rather passively. I'm going to wait to see where they move. Then I'm going to respond. Might I suggest to you, if the holidays are a struggle, if Thanksgiving was hard, you don't know exactly sure how to treat these people who are pagans that happen to be related to you, don't be passive. Be an active chess player. Make the move. What does that look like? It looks like you welcoming them, not waiting to see, you know, what kind of mood are they in? Do they have a bottle of booze in their hand again? No, none of that stuff. Hey, dude, happy Thanksgiving. Come on in. And you just love on them actively. And that most likely will lead to a far more natural evangelistic encounter if you are a Christian who desires to share your faith. And honestly, I don't think we can make it a law and say Thanksgiving and Christmas, you got to share your faith with the unbelievers. But wow, if we can't do it, especially at Christmas time, we're probably never going to do it. And that's why when it comes to evangelism, you too need to be active and not passive. Don't wait to see if the time is right. Did it work out? Well, hey, were we able to go out into the back deck and chat about stuff and go for that walk? If I get him alone on that walk, then I'm going to talk to him about. Don't do that. You're going to have to summon up courage and just do it. By the way, Jimmy, I don't know if he's going to post this or not. Ray Comfort just sent me a little video clip and it said, this has never happened to me before in a witness encounter. He's speaking to this young lady. She looks like she's 27, 28, 30, maybe. And he said, do you know what the gospel is? And she said, I don't want to know what the gospel is. And then this other woman enters, you know how Ray films it with his cell phone, enters the frame and goes, you don't need to hear any of this. And they kiss on the lips and walk away. Hello. Even Ray got a little shook on that one. Chances are that won't happen to you. Ray witnesses to a lot of people because Ray witnesses to a lot of people. You can witness to a lot of people if you'll simply witness to a lot of people. And might I suggest you're active about it, but also be active about loving them and just looking forward to having a nice day with them, it'll dial your tension back. And it'll allow you to be winsome in how you share the gospel, when you share the gospel, and it'll just make it for a nicer holiday. I know there's a lot of stuff involved with family histories. I know that. And if those issues are still kind of brewing about, maybe it would be a good idea to consider working through those issues in the next year so that maybe if this Christmas can't be merry, the next one can be, because you actually don't act like a peace faker, but you become a peacemaker. Ken Sandy's book, Peacemaker, might help you a lot. How you can actually bring up those issues from the past, parental, siblings, whatever the dynamic is, you can be a peacemaker, but you need to be intentional about it. You need to be set on it. How do you find that? Well, that's easy. You simply remember the reason for the season. And then you'll be able to love and speak lovingly. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Well, the Trump FDA just made a stunning admission that should end any really remaining debate about childhood COVID vaccinations. At least 10 American children died because of the shots, according to an internal memo released by the FDA chief. And while government mandates were putting children at risk, pregnancy resource centers were quietly saving lives. Over 3.7 million people served in 2024, providing an estimated 452 million in medical and support services. These centers helped rescue over 7,000 babies through abortion pill reversal alone. And the contrast here is extremely striking, because it's the same officials who mandated experimental shots for children. Now they want to eliminate centers that help women carry their babies to term. Scotland is also taking the culture of death to its logical conclusion, with proposed legislation allowing abortion up to birth for social reasons, including sex selection. Yet you heard that right. Aborting a daughter because you wanted a son would be legal under this proposal. Meanwhile, several pro-life groups note this extremism doesn't reflect public opinion. Recent polling shows millennials and Gen Z women are more opposed to unrestricted abortion than baby boomers. Quebec has decided religious freedom is so 2019 and introduced Bill 9 to ban public prayer, eliminating funding for religious schools and prohibiting religious symbols in public institutions. A 16-year-old basketball player recently delivered the speech Washington's Democratic leadership needed to hear. She's called out the governor, the state superintendent, and attorney general as, quote, gutless men trying to stifle the voices of young women. After refusing to compete against a biological male, the young lady faced investigation by the school district and the State Activities Association for, quote, misgendering. And Tennessee voters, well, they're heading to the polls this week for a special House election that could preview the 2026 races. Republican Matt Van Epps, an Army combat veteran endorsed by President Trump, faces a Democrat dubbed the AOC of Tennessee by activist David Hogg. Afton Ben is her name. I hope I'm saying that right. But she has been supportive of burning police stations. She's called ICE operations state-sponsored violence and said that she was fearful for trans communities after the Nashville Christian school shooting that left 6 dead. Finally, some genuinely good news to wrap on. The Bipartisan Adopt Act has been introduced to protect families from unlicensed baby brokers who exploit vulnerable mothers and adoptive parents for profit. This legislation imposes federal penalties and licensing requirements to ensure ethical and transparent adoption. It's a rare moment of bipartisan cooperation that actually does serve families rather than bureaucracies. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus, or you can sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content, both of which you can do at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. The Gospel of Matthew is an account of the life of Christ written by one of Jesus' disciples. Matthew's Gospel shows Jesus as the promised Messiah, God's anointed King and Savior. When you hear of the kingdom of heaven, remember that there is no kingdom without a king. Only those who bow before Jesus will enter his kingdom. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Please step into my office. Jimmy. This is Wretched Radio. So I'm rooting through the nightstand. Lo and behold, I found a couple of books that were buried inside of, well, some other books that are buried inside of my nightstand. And I thought, oh, this is exactly what Jimmy needs. Actually, it's exactly what we all need. Before we enter into a therapy session with Jimmy, would like to make it clear, biblical therapy, counseling, discipleship isn't simply about taking a Bible verse that's appropriate and slapping it on the person and saying, you're good to go. Take this verse twice a day. No, that's not what genuine biblical counseling is. It's certainly not holistic biblical counseling, but one of the keys to living a life, in my estimation, that allows you to react better to external circumstances is the burying of God's word in your heart and then pulling it out as needed. And I'm going to use a word. I know it's a little scary these days with the influence of Buddhism. You meditate on this word. You think about it. Brain games. No, they're brain wars, aren't they? The stuff that gets into your head, it can be a fight. And for some people, it is an ongoing skirmish. It just never ends with the intrusive thoughts, the obsessive thinking. It's so draining. It's so difficult. And this would actually apply to you too. Now, it might be a more strenuous application that's required in order for you to see some fruit. But if your brain is firing off thoughts that aren't true, how do you get rid of them? Well, you can do some of the secular tricks. You know, you can put a rubber band on your wrist and snap it. I guess that kind of works or something. Or you can replace lies with truth. The book that I found in my nightstand, Quick Scripture Reference for Counseling by a John G. Cruz, K-R-U-I-S. He's the founder of the Biblical Counseling Center in Jenison, Michigan. I'm sorry, I'm having an internal chuckle right now. Jimmy, there's a young man at our church. I'm not going to say it's Jason's son from the guy who leads the Fortis Direct fellow.
That guy.
Yeah, he's down the hall. His son just moved to Michigan.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's lived in Georgia his whole life. It ain't a joke, is it? It was all cute when you were thinking about going up there. Yeah, I understand it's pretty cold. Pretty cold? He's getting a big dose of Midwestern awakening right now. That's cold. Although I got to tell you, the cold in the South, I think, is colder than the cold in the North. It's like the difference between Arizona and Savannah. I know one is a state and one is a city, but Savannah, I just think drippy, humid, moist. It's like living inside of somebody's mouth. Actually, that's Houston, who incidentally, I think was number 2 on the most sinful cities in the nation. I don't know how they figure that stuff. It's by what people search for and what have you. And there's like 37 different sins or vices. Las Vegas was one. Houston was another. Philadelphia was on the list. Los Angeles. And Jimmy, guess who is number 5? Guess who was number 5?
Memphis.
Atlanta, Georgia.
Wow.
But it was more vanity sins. I believe that. Because we are Carly Simon is what we are. We just, fashion is a big thing here in Atlanta. So it landed Atlanta at number 5 for the sake of vanity. So Houston is like living in somebody's mouth, but Savannah ain't far behind. Contrast that to Arizona, which is a very dry place. And it gets hot in both of those zip codes, and it feels different. And people will say, they go from the South to the Southwest. Well, at least it's a dry heat. Ditto with the cold. Up north, at least it's a dry cold. Down here, it's wet. It's humid in December. So when it hits 30 here, but my consolation is, it ain't Michigan. Jimmy, I hold in my hand the quick scripture reference for counseling. Here's how we are going to play this therapy session. Are you ready?
I think.
I'm going to go alphabetical with the way that these subjects are listed here in the subject guide. And I'm only going to do it one letter at a time. And then I'm going to read the list and you're going to tell me which one of those sounds the most interesting to you.
Okay.
Fair enough?
Yeah.
I didn't complicate this like the naughty or nice list, did no, I?
I don't think so.
All right. Adultery, affliction, alcohol, anger, anxiety, assurance. There's your choices. A lot of good ones in there.
Yeah.
You know, we should probably pick two out of the A's because when you get to the D's, not so much.
Okay.
Not a lot going on.
Well, if we're
going
to pick two, then I'm going to go with assurance. And what else did you say? You said alcohol, anxiety.
Adultery, affliction, alcohol, anger, anxiety, assurance.
Anger.
Anger it is. We're going to go to that one first because it's closer to the front. So this is a Bible. These are Bible verses that you might want to jot down because if you struggle with this particular bent, you just blow easier than others. Just the lid comes off. Maybe some of these verses will help you if you memorize them. And then when you start to feel the temperature go up, you can bring it down. So for it, oh, wait, that's alcohol. Sorry. Hold on a second. Page 27. Here we go. And the best rehearsed Christian radio program on this station at this time. So anger, here we go. Anger is not in itself sinful. What? That's right. You've got to remember there's always two types of an emotion. There's the sinful and the non-sinful. God is angry at the wicked every day. That's not a sin. It's not wrong for God to be angry, and it's not wrong for Jesus to be angry at the Pharisees. It's also not wrong for us to be righteously angry, defined as God is being offended or assaulted, not me. God is the object of somebody's scorn. That should elicit a righteous indignation. But Proverbs 14, the wise are cautious and avoid danger. Fools plunge ahead with reckless confidence. Short-tempered people do foolish things, and schemers are hated. Now, you could even remember just the part that addressed anger as being foolish, so that when you start feeling, you didn't put the, I only got two pickles on my Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich, and there's supposed to be three. I'm being foolish. I don't want to be a fool. Dial it back. Bring it down. You could go to James 1:19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God loves. You want to be doing stuff that God doesn't love? Then sin in your anger. If you want to be doing things that pleases God, not enhancing or maintaining your salvific status, but that it pleases God, then dial it back. Get it under control. Use your not acting out in sinful anger as an act of worship to God. Lord, I'm not going to get angry because I love you too much. You could go to 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. You say, I didn't hear the word anger in there. Well, it's put off, put on. You can't just not, you've also got to do. So if you're feeling like you want to get torqued with somebody, the response needs to be in remembering this Bible verse. No, I'm called, I'm challenged to love this person. Okay, I'm not going to yell. I'm not going to be vindictive. I'm going to say something positive. Seek the way of love. You could do 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind. It is not easily angered. Maybe it helps to remember when you're being angry unrighteously, you're not being loving. Preached on this Sunday morning and quoted 1 Corinthians 13 because we read from the Westminster Larger Catechism. Usually read from the London Baptist Confession of Faith from 1689, but the Westminster, the Larger Catechism had this nailed. The question was, what does it look like to obey the first commandment? And it was a laundry list. It was like, oh, so many things I should be doing, how I should be praying to God, proclaiming God, letting God shape me in every way, being submissive, being obedient, proclaiming Jesus Christ, and on and on and on the list went. Delighting in him. And the overall effect to me was, I can't do it. I can't do this. That's what law does. All of these things that you're supposed to do, Now, I'm not going to just throw them into the recycle bin and pretend that I don't have to do them, but I do need to remember that I just can't measure up. And it is in that moment I realize how much I need Jesus Christ, which is why the preeminent response to Jesus is love, that we love him. What did Jesus say to Peter when he was restoring him? Peter, do you believe in me? Do you believe in me? Do you believe in me? Peter, will you learn a lot of theology? Will you learn a lot of theology? Will you study systematic theology? No. It was, do you love me? 1 Corinthians 16:9, Paul said, if the believer, the one who says he's a Christian, doesn't love Jesus, he's not a Christian. Love is our chief response to the goodness of God. And that'll keep you from being so angry. This is Wretched Radio.
Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something? Without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it. If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy. But they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. We've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity, people who aren't afraid to speak biblical truth into marriage and parenting and manhood and the cultural battles we're facing every day. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where Faithful Gospel Partners come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry. You're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. You're standing with us in this brave new world. And hey, while you're thinking about it, make sure you download Fortis Plus if you haven't already. Hundreds of hours of biblical content available for you to listen to right now, and we're adding more every day, and it's completely free for everyone. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Let me ask you something. How much time did you spend on your phone yesterday? Don't answer that out loud. It's probably pretty embarrassing for the both of us. But here's the thing. You're going to be on that thing anyway, right? So why not use some of that time for something that actually matters? The Fortis Plus app. That's right. It is packed with content that'll change how you think, how you lead, and how you live. Hundreds of hours of teaching from voices you can trust. Marriage advice that actually works. Parenting wisdom rooted in scripture and theology that connects your mind to your life. And get this. It's all free. Completely free. No subscription. No hidden fees. Just solid biblical content available whenever you want it. Plus, we're adding stuff every day, including my news feature that'll help you understand what's really happening in our culture through a biblical worldview. That's my intent anyway. Look, the world is trying to disciple you through your phone every day. Why not fight back with truth? Download Fortis Plus right now. It's free, it's powerful, and it's time to take back your screen time and use it for the kingdom. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called a fragrant offering. In the Old Testament, God required burnt offerings of meat and incense as a pleasing aroma. These sacrifices foreshadowed Jesus, the perfect offering that takes away the sins of the world.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Jimmy's wish is my command. This is Wretched Radio. We hit anger. You want assurance. That would be page 30 in a book that might be very helpful, especially if you're a biblical counselor. Somebody presents a sin and you want them to leave the office with Bible, or you want to share Bible with them in the midst of a conversation and you can't think of an address. Super helpful. It's called The Quick Scripture Reference for Counseling. Page 30 deals with assurance. I'm going to pick the last verse. because I think there could have been more verses inside of this particular section. But this one was my favorite, not the least of which is because I'm currently studying it for the new sermon series in January at Alpharetta Bible Church. A Christian has a living hope through Christ's resurrection. It's quoting 1 Peter 3:5. Perhaps you do well to memorize this verse and trust it. Trust it. When you're feeling doubtful about your salvation, I guess a caveat is needed. Sometimes it's always good to examine ourselves on occasion to see if we're in the faith, but not a perpetual staring in the mirror. How am I doing? How am I doing? How am I doing? How am I doing? Because if that's all you do, believe me, you are going to identify very quickly you fall short. Instead, you want to be asking different questions. How much do I want to love him? How much do I want to serve him? How much do I want to obey him? It's the desire, because our performance is always falling short. That's why we need Jesus every hour. We need him constantly. 1 Peter 1:3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again. You can just stop right there. Why were you born again? He caused you. He says that earlier, doesn't he? In 1 Peter 1, probably verse 2, 1 or 2. That through his foreknowledge, he elected you. You got saved because God saved you. He called you according to his great mercy. He's caused you to be born again. And it continues, to a living hope. So he's thinking future here. This is your salvation is coming fully through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is why knowing that Jesus rose from the dead is so crucial, because if he didn't, then you don't have salvation. But if you know that he did and you know that God has caused you to be born again, then you can have assurance, can't you? To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable. Your inheritance, it's been determined. Unlike today, if somebody puts you in a will, they can go back to the lawyer and say, I want to change it and write you out. God can't do that. He can't do that. Are there things God can't do? Yeah, he can't take you out of his will. Your inheritance is incorruptible. It is imperishable. It is eternal. And it was determined before you even took a breath of air, before you were even a little zygote. It happened in eternity past. That's what Peter is saying. So you can trust God, can't you? You can trust him because he's the one that has wrought salvation and keeps it in you to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. So your inheritance, it just keeps on keeping on for all of eternity, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. What was that, like 5-6 different ways that Peter offered you assurance? 5 or 6 different ways. Memorize 3-4. That's 3 verses. And they're kind of hard because it's a little listy. I get that. But what if you buried that in your heart and the next time you wavered, you went to it and went, hold on a second. He's caused me to be saved. My inheritance is imperishable. It's not going anywhere. It's reserved for me. It's unwavering. And because it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I'm good. And off you go. And you might need to repeat that some people 700 times a day because of the intrusive thoughts. But then you memorize other Bible verses too. Hey, Jimmy, I think I might have just changed course.
Okay.
Believe it or not, that verse, I've already outlined that verse. This will be the sermon January 9th, I think, next year.
Okay.
And now I'm rethinking it a little bit in the light of assurance. Because I originally titled it, I don't know what the number was, like 5 benefits of your salvation. Because they're listed inside of here, that the things that we get, an inheritance, which is imperishable and undefiled, it's reserved for, it talks about components and elements of our salvation. And I wanted to talk about those benefits, but now I'm thinking, assurance better be in that list somewhere, Friel. Jimmy, this is... I'm working on the Advent sermons. I know you didn't ask. And by the way, we're not going to do this today because, wow, people got just lit up about the Paul Washer clip. I'll tell you what. I actually will play it for you. But we're not going to, I'm going to do my very best to not talk about this because this was a quote that Paul Washer, or I don't know where he was. It looked like he might have been at Grace Community Church. But oofda, did people get the comments.
There's one thing that I see over and over missing in all these expositors. When I come to church, I don't want to hear a New Testament class.
Wow, I want to say something about that. Like, amen!
I want to hear preaching. I want to see a man who has life and death painted on his face. I want to have the great matters of eternity set before me. I want to be urged. I want to be begged. I want to be pleaded with, because the subject matter is worthy of it. And this was the Apostle Paul. He doesn't just lay truth before people and then walk off the platform patting himself on the back because he did a good job expositing a text.
Trying to recall how many years we've been saying that, not as passionately as Paul, but nevertheless, as often as Paul just did. Big fan of expository preaching. Make no mistake about it. Big fan of expository preaching. But it is not expository preaching if all you do is download facts. It's not preaching. It's teaching. It can be systematic. It can be thorough. But preaching is more than just teaching.
No! There should be no contentment in the preacher unless God is glorified and men and women are moved.
But I'm not talking about that right now. Jimmy, are you ready for the letter B?
I am.
Here we go. Bitterness, blame shit.
Let's just stop there.
Okay. Bitterness, page 32. You know, there's some radio programs that actually prepare and have the page ready, but I didn't know what you... Okay, bitterness and resentment. Ephesians 4:31, get rid of all bitterness. Well, that should be enough right there. Rage and anger. Okay, if you happen to have a root of bitterness, you need to know it's a tough one. It really is, but it's got to go. That's what that verse just commanded you. It's got to go. Get rid of bitterness. Look at what it's linked to. Rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. So bitterness is anger. It's malice, and it can manifest itself in nasty business, can it? Maybe just the gossip, maybe just the slander. Maybe you do bad things to somebody that has bugged you or done you wrong. This is a command. It's a charge. You got to get rid of it. Got to get rid of this. Be kind and compassionate. Okay, so here, put it off. Get rid of that bitterness. Be compassionate. Put that on. Forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So it would appear in this text that bitterness is closely linked to a lack of unforgiveness. That's what it's linked to. Sorry, there's a synapse or a segue somewhere in my brain right now. On Sunday at Alpharetta Bible Church, talked about the connection of the fervency of your faith with a recognition of three things, a recognition of three things that will increase your love for the Lord, or will perhaps reveal why you don't have as much love for the Lord. And it really comes from Luke 12, that she who is forgiven much loves much. That is a forever key for you right there. If you're not loving the Lord the way that you should, it's because you're not at the moment appreciating how much you've been forgiven and what Jesus Christ has gone through to forgive you, and how amazing and precious it is that he not only offers us salvation and every gift in the heavenly realms, but he offers us himself. And those were the three things that we talked about. We're failing to remember our need. We're failing to remember the gift, not just of the gifts, but Jesus Christ himself, the person, and the sacrifice that he made. When you perpetually dwell on those things, guess what's going to happen? You're going to realize how much you're perpetually being forgiven, and it's going to grow your love for God. Do you want your love to grow for God? Now, we've heard this a gazillion times. You should preach the gospel to yourself every day. Okay, won't argue with that. It wouldn't make it a law, but I wouldn't argue with that. But I would say make sure that you remember as part of that gospel, don't glance over your amazing, staggering deficiencies and your great need for Jesus Christ. And then consider what he provides in his person and in his work and what he did to secure it for you, and you will grow in love. How do you get rid of bitterness? It's the same sort of formula. Grow in your love for Jesus by studying him and how he forgave. You will be able to forgive more, and you will be able to uproot that root of bitterness. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.